Well, God, some gospel tonight. Appreciate your prayers and your attention for a while. 16th chapter, Matthew, verses 1 through 4. One of those jarring collisions that took place between Jesus and the leaders of the Israelite nation is recorded in Matthew's gospel like this. Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it's evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky. Can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. You know, read that and think, I don't want the Lord talking that way to me. The gospel is subtle. I don't know how to explain that very well. But the most profound things in it can be hidden. You can read it and know what the words say and just entirely miss where the Lord really is. Well, the scripture said he's revealed these things to babes and concealed them from the wise and prudent. And that makes me want to be a babe, if that's what it takes, to understand what it is that the Lord is trying to get across to us. In my lifetime, I have seen a number of things that I'm satisfied were marks of God's hand, but very little of it in a way that would be where it's just obvious to everyone. When I've seen cancer healed, I knew a man who had a cancer on his head, and there was prayer offered for him, and the cancer fell off, and he put it in a bottle and kept it. It was a skin cancer, and he can still show it to you today. I saw that happen. And you say, that should be in the New England Journal of Medicine. Everybody should see that. But God's got a way of healing you that yet isn't obvious. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? But it is the way God works. It's just subtle. It's like he's not interested in great demonstrations. I read a story a guy wrote one time who was of the other persuasion that God ought to show us great demonstrations. And he said God started speaking to the world down here, just everybody in the world could hear him at once from the heavens, and told them certain signs that he was going to show. And he said at the proper time he was going to submerge the nation of Australia 6 inches underwater. And that had proved to everybody that he is God. But you can't ever find that. He doesn't work that way. It's subtle. It's always got something wrapped around it. And it was true in this case. The Pharisees came to Jesus looking for a sign. They understood, but he didn't say this very much openly either, but he had a way of saying it kind of sideways, that he was a Messiah, until right at the very end of his life. Then he started being a little bit more open about it. But they suspected that that's what he was saying. And so they came to him and said, well, show us a sign. We want to have a reason to believe. And each time they did that, Jesus gave a very negative response. This verse that I've just read to you is the second time that Matthew records that apparently these same people, the scribes and the Pharisees, came to Jesus looking for a sign. And each time he gave them essentially the same answer. Said, no, you won't get any sign of this dispensation but the sign of the prophet Jonah, which really is a sign of his resurrection. And each time he reproved them. And this time his reproof got a little bit stronger than the one before, because what they did brings to mind again what Satan told Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, if you are the Son of God, speak to these stones that they be made bread. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down from the temple, because the Lord has said that his angels would bear you up. And the Lord never responds to that well. He always looks on that as an attack from the devil. You understand? And that's what these fellows were doing. I suppose they had no idea what spirit it was that was speaking through them. They would have told us, Well, we're defending the faith. We're protecting our responsibility to watch out for the souls that God's entrusted to our care. And in doing that, we have responsibility to determine for sure whether or not this is the Christ. And so do we. But there is something about it that you can only determine in your own conscience and in your own spirit. And the Lord wasn't pleased with what these fellows said for a number of reasons. The Lord pointed to the heavens. He said, you can discern the face of the sky. If they said here, show us a sign from heaven, or maybe put another way, in the heavens. And we're thinking of what happened on Sinai. The first time we got the Ten Commandments, God came down, there were thunders, there were lightning, there was trembling, everybody was afraid. And in the meantime, while they were being afraid, the people down here were making a golden calf. Didn't mention that. But now you say that you're the Son of God, so we want to see some more thunder and some more lightning. And miss completely that the dispensation had changed. The Lord's not going to show the signs of the Old Testament. This is a New Testament. Yeah. So he came among them showing every day signs like nobody else had ever done before, beginning with the earliest records that we have of his ministry. The Lord sent one of his prophets one time to tell some folks, sent out 50 with a captain of the 50. The king did to capture him. And Elijah cursed them in the name of the Lord, and they all fell down dead. And that was a sign. Well, I guess that would get my attention. In this case, the signs that the Lord brought, first one beginning, was to go to a wedding and change the water so people would have something more pleasant to drink. Just a whimsy. Water will satisfy your needs. The only reason to give them wine is because it tastes better. And yet that was the first miracle we have a record of that the Lord performed, showing us that this is a new and different dispensation of time than that one was. And he surrounded them with signs. He healed as many as came to him. He walked to the pool of Bethesda and spoke to a man that hadn't walked in 30 years and raised him up. And a man went into the temple and testified about it. He didn't even know who had done it. He healed a blind man, did about the same thing with him. And that man, the scribes, probably some of these same people, came to him and said, who did this to you? Don't you know that's a sinner? And he didn't even know who it was. How would he? He was blind until the Lord healed him. And he said, you the fellows are supposed to know about right and wrong. I don't know about that, but one thing I do know, I was blind, now I see. Everywhere he went, the Lord did things like that. Every one of those were a sign, an indicator to those who wanted it. But there was something in these people that despised the gentle signs of the New Testament gospel and wanted instead something that carried with it a demonstration that would satisfy carnal curiosity. Herod tried that with the Lord. The Lord was brought before him and on trial for his life. And Herod roughed him up a little bit. And the Lord didn't respond to Herod. But the scripture said that Herod was hoping to see a miracle. It's just really hard to get the Lord to do a miracle to satisfy your curiosity. He just will hardly do it. And so he didn't in that case. And a remark again that Satan had the same attitude about it. These fellows didn't find Jesus' gentle spirit and the works that he did enough evidence to convince him. It will be the same with you and me. The whole world, let me rephrase that, it's not accurate. There are many people who profess to be Christian, and they have many different little indicators that they like to give. Sometimes it's how much money, sometimes it's, different things that folks have devised, wearing religious symbols, emblems, things of that sort. The greatest evidence of Christianity that any of us can show is a sweet and gentle, loving, humble spirit.
Yeah.
That's what the Lord wants in his people.
Amen.
And folks, if we don't have that, there isn't anything else we can do that convinces folks. And if we do have that, we really don't need to advertise it very much.
No.
We just need to live it. And this teaching of the gospel is that if you take that course, well, it's not very dramatic. It's not very exciting. And there'll be people who don't give very much credibility to it. And the biggest reason often is because it makes people feel guilty to be around someone who, when the offer comes around, here's a beer bottle, let's all take a drink, or we brought enough for everybody, and just don't have to reprove them. Just quietly slip away. And don't want any of that. And it makes people feel guilty in their souls. You can't really live close to the Lord and be a friend of the world. There's an enmity that exists in between. So you have to take a choice in life. I want to talk a little bit now about the signs that the Lord has given that he pointed to in this case. He answered, when it's evening, you say it'll be fair weather. And he pointed the skies. Remember the old saying? Red skies in morning, sailor take warning. Red skies at night, sailor's delight. The Lord pointed that out. It's been known for thousands of years. Fellas, can't you see that a change is happening in Israel? Something's going on. I think about the signs that the Lord's given us about the progression of life and what it means. Have you ever seen somebody who's lived a long time in sin? It puts marks on you. Your face gets different. Or you can look at just this. Every one of us here, our bodies are aging. And that only points in one direction. There is nothing you can do to make it go backwards by a single day. And we all see it. And we all know it. Doesn't that tell you that we're moving towards something?
Yeah.
The indications that we see are just... Look at life, if you can think of it that way for a moment, as an unbiased observer, not favoring any religion, just looking at what happens with people. People who live lustful, wicked lives bring more trouble on themselves than people who don't. That's just the reality. We don't need a shiny eye sign in the heavens. We don't need Australia to go 6 inches underwater to see that that's true. All we need to do is look around us and see. Shipwreck is what Paul called it. People's hopes and dreams, their best desires in life, torn apart, broken and shredded on their hard rocks of sin. That's indication enough, isn't it, that we ought to do better? The Lord told a man who'd already left this world in his story about him and wanted to have a sign sent back to his people, the one raised from the dead. The Lord said that sign wouldn't be enough. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. I'm sorry for these fellas. They made the wrong decision. They shouldn't have fought the Lord. Maybe they didn't all. The Bible speaks about a great company of the priests who became believers. I'd like to think that Jesus' message was effective to some of these people. He's always reaching out. In any case, they're all in eternity now. And I'm satisfied that Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and many of those who were of that persuasion, they didn't make it. They oversaw the Lord's crucifixion. Look how long they've had to regret that in the centuries since. Whatever few years of that satisfaction, lopsided, bitter, dark satisfaction that may have brought them, it's all over now. They would have been wiser to hear Moses and the prophets. The rich man in hell, he would have been wiser had he had his brothers heard Moses and the prophets. I'm not there. We're here. But I'm alive and I have a soul. And I'm going to be in eternity somewhere.
Yeah.
I want to read this old book, folks. We got more than Moses and the prophets. There's one book of sheer prophecy in the New Testament, and then a whole number of books telling the story of how the gospel went to the world and the changes that it made and the wonderful things that are in it. The language in the New Testament is so different from that in the Old. The love, the compassion, the depth of understanding. Now, in a way, we all have the same decision to make about Christ that these people did. But I recommend to us that we're wise to just get the old gospel and study it and understand it and use it as our basis to go to heaven. The Lord used some pretty strong language of these fellows. Wicked and adulterous, he said. Wicked means these fellows were more than just in their challenging of him on logical basis. They're wanting to see a physical demonstration. They had sin hidden in their hearts. The Lord's Spirit convicted them of that. He didn't name it out here, but it touched every one of them. It is the mercy of the Lord. If you come by and visit, you and me, and let us see where we are before him. Have you ever prayed for the dying? You ever prayed at somebody's bedside that's dying? And what do you pray? Mine has been, especially the person is questioning. It's very powerful to watch life slipping away. And with each moment going by, realize that the person is a little bit less able to deal with God than they were a few seconds before. And hear them crying. Are you sure I'm ready? How can I know that I'm ready? When I come to those places, I'm not God. You can't look into their life very well. I get down and ask God, Lord, if there is anything in this person's life that would keep them from being able to meet you in peace, will you please have mercy on us? Help us to see what that is. Give them the grace to be able to change it while there's yet opportunity and do something about it. Really, that's the way that we ought to live, and it is the thing that condemned these people, because just to be in Jesus' presence was to be convicted of what they needed to do. That's why part of why we have worship service. When folks come to a Holy Ghost anointed worship service, the Spirit of the Lord will lay bare the secrets of their heart. And that is so valuable. You can't deal with it until you know it's there. And when the Lord lays it open before you, it always carries with it also the opportunity to do something about it. And so it was with these fellows. And it was his purpose in working with them that way. A wicked generation. They said, I can't show you the sign that you want because you're wicked and adulterous. He meant that in a spiritual sense. It's adultery. The Lord counts it adultery when we love something else ahead of him. Yeah. These people love their system of worship more than they love the Lord. They loved that law, that creed, the set of rules that they had. And they would stand by that, even if their own experience convinced them that it was wrong. And the Lord said, you're being fickle with God in doing that. That's not what he wants from you. He wants you to be innocent on the inside.
Yeah.
And that's the call of the gospel. So he pointed to those things. And he said to them, don't you see that's not going to end well? How many times have we felt that way? I watched a man one time pour out cocaine on the top of a desk and take a razor blade and separate it into a little roll of white powder, take a straw and suck it up his nose. And I thought to myself those things. They didn't want to hear my reproof, of course. But I thought, don't you see that can't end well? People do so many things in life that, you know, can't end well. The Lord prophesied in the Psalms concerning our spiritual salvation to perfect that concerning me. If we live the way the Lord wants us to, He will take all of our experiences, and when we come to the end of the way, fix it in such a manner that we look at that and say, this is perfect. At the time I didn't understand it. It seemed like it was surely wrong. But the Lord will guarantee that every experience he leads us through, when we get to the end of it, we'll say, that was as good as it could have been made. You can't say that about cocaine. You can't say that about stealing or lying or cheating or any of the other vices, being bitter, harsh, unspiritual. Looks like folks will look at that and say, well, where's this going to end? Well, you know where it ended for these people. It wasn't very long after Christ was crucified, about 30 years, and their whole city was destroyed. And no doubt some of the people who were there that day died on crosses just like Jesus was. Because of the things that he was telling them. Well, I'm sorry about these people. They made a bad mistake and they're in eternity now. My concern is you and me, of course. And it seems like a time to look at ourselves and think about what the Lord's done for us. He said, first of all, the only sign that you're going to be given is a sign of Jonas, 3 days in the whale's belly. And he spoke that in that veiled language he's speaking of a moment ago about his resurrection. That was a long time ago. I wasn't there. I didn't hear what the apostles said about it, but they wrote it. And I read it. I find it convincing. It's only the sign he'll give you and me too. You're not going to get a sign of eye. Now the Lord reproved these fellows. I don't want him talking to me that way. So I said to myself, let's read it and see what we can get from it and see what we can find what's in it convincing. And I do. I do. I believe that Jesus Christ hung on the cross and was crucified and died for the sins of the world and was resurrected.
Yeah.
I believe that happened because I read about people like Peter. And he said, I was there. And he said, I assuredly believe it. I find it convincing.
Yeah.
You know, we make choices as we go through life. Believing in the Lord is a choice.
Yeah.
You can never prove it absolutely. It always requires a step of faith. Remember what he said? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we come to these things and we wonder about, like these fellows did. Read the story. And I recommend it to you that way this evening. You believe he was crucified? Something happened back there. After this happened, Paul and those with him changed the whole world. You go over in those European countries, any of them today, and there are signs of Christianity everywhere, centuries old. They're turning away from it now, but their forefathers believed it. Where did that come from? There's something that made people different. Oh, of course, the best proof of all is to try it yourself. Lord, you had eternal life. Would you have mercy on me and forgive me? If that blood was real, could I have some of it poured over my soul and see what happens? Something changes, doesn't it? Well, what other signs has the Lord given you and me in our lives? One of them is just the resurrection. That's the one that he pointed to. But it's not the only one that I've had. Have you ever known somebody who just got real saved? We were working in the prisons in Angola. There were a number, but I'm thinking one in particular. He was a convicted murderer. He had a life sentence, and he got saved. In Louisiana, life sentence means a life sentence. There's no time off for good behavior. There's nothing. I mean, once you pass that, you're there. But he got saved, and it changed him so much. In time, the guards noticed. In time, I probably told you before, they have a big farm there and they ship produce from the farm all over the state of Louisiana. And they trusted this inmate to drive an 18-wheeler and deliver the products that they were growing on that farm all over the state and come back every evening and go right back into his confinement there. Why would they trust a man that they knew had every reason to escape? Because his salvation experience was so strong, it convinced them. They didn't say much to him about his salvation. They just watched his behavior. But it won their confidence. To the point that eventually he received a governor's pardon and was set free because of his experience of salvation. It made the difference. But that mattered to me. I saw that myself. He stayed in touch with me during that time and afterwards. You understand? Have you ever had somebody like that in your life? What about your mother? You ever come in the house and hear your mother praying for you? Well, some of us have, maybe some of us haven't. I had a praying mother. She used to set a bale of hay out in the barn early in the morning and go out there and pray. And of course, she did it and none of us knew it. But I got up one morning and found her out there praying. And so I asked her if I could pray with her. And of course, she said yes. So can I tomorrow? And she said yes. And what that meant was she had to find somewhere else to set her bale of hay for her own private prayers, and then she'd come back and have prayer with me. That affected me.
Yeah.
I haven't forgotten that. I'd like to think Mother's prayers are still following me today. Have you known somebody in your life that was a godly example, that changed your feeling about things? That's a witness. How do people get to be that way unless the Lord does something for them? But I believe He does. I believe He does. I remember an old brother went to see who was a hospice patient. He was a black man. The person handling me said, "Ed, you like this man. He got saved. He was a used car dealer, and he told me he cheated everybody he could. And he said, I've hated every white man I ever met, and I'd have been glad to kill every one of them." He got saved. He'd never seen me before. I spent 30 minutes in his house and had prayer with him, and by the time I got through, he wrapped both arms around my neck and cried on my shoulder. He only had a few more months to live, and he said, "I want you to come and meet me in heaven. I'm so glad you came into my home." That affected me. I've had some signs, haven't you? I've had some signs. The Lord's done some things for me. Just the other day, I was out somewhere and it's time to go home and I lost my keys. And so I said, "Lord, help me find my keys." And went right to them like I was tied to a string. Have you ever done that? I take those as, that's signs enough for me. I don't need thunder and lightning and the skies to change color and all that sort of thing. A couple of days ago, Roberta got one of her contact lenses. It slid off somewhere in her eye and it couldn't find it up under the lid. 2 minutes, Lord have mercy on Roberta and help her find her lens. And I looked down there, it was on her finger. You understand what I'm saying? To walk with the Lord, to feel the comfort of His presence. Now, you can't explain that to the world very well, but it sure is valuable when you got it. Hasn't the Lord given you some signs? Maybe when I finish here in a couple of minutes, some of you want to tell us about some of the reasons, gentle reasons, New Testament reasons, why your waters turned to wine. Things the Lord didn't have to do for you, but He did it anyway. To bring a blessing to your soul. I'm sorry for these fellows. They made the wrong choice. It's our turn now. I don't have to make that choice.
Amen.
Oh, thank God. We can look at the signs the Lord's given us. And we can choose to believe. Look at this natural world around us. You know how light reaches your brain? You know, it comes in rays through your eye, through the pupil. And the image reverses upside down and registers on your brain back here somehow. And it turns it right side up and it picks out color and distance. Somebody can stand at the back of the chapel and throw you a baseball. And your eye can gauge how fast it's coming and what the arc is in time to get your hands out and catch it. Close at just the right moment. And people try to tell you that evolved. How would you ever evolve something like that? What would ever make an eye grow on something? Well, that's not all. I got ears. And they pick up sound. And I can walk through this room where somebody has lit a candle and it's got an aroma. And I can detect that aroma and that just evolved. Oh, yes. And the genes that you got in your body that go all the way back to one ancestor just discovered again. And that just happened. And those heavens on the other side of majesty. So far flung.
God only.
So far flung, nobody's ever found the limit of it. And folks say there's no eternity. That's signs enough for me. We make choices. You decide whether or not you want to believe the Lord. But for me, I've decided to follow Jesus. That's what I mean when I say it's such a blessing, such a privilege to come and worship with people like you who have the same attitude. It's more than know how to put into words. There's a gentle spirit from heaven that comes down to rest over us and comfort, water our souls, and lead us peacefully in the way everlasting. Every day moves us moments closer.
Yeah.
Toward eternity. And it is so pleasant, so valuable to approach it with a lively hope. That instead of that being the end of everything, instead of the things that have passed away from us by passage of time being lost irretrievably, we stand on the threshold of entering into something vastly better. I believe there's people over there. I've seen some of them. I remember in the dream that the Lord gave me, I saw my sister coming down there. I'll never forget what she said. Ed, you like it over here. And it meant a lot because she knows what I like. I believe there are people over there who like that. Welcome you home one of these days.
Yeah.
It's worth the trouble to believe the Lord, folks. Thank you for the courtesy and intention this evening. Amen. Boy, what about it? Can we steal a few more minutes? Has the Lord given you some signs that you want to share? You know, it's this way in life. When the Lord gave Mary her visitation, Angel Gabriel came to see her, and she believed it. And shortly there were changes in her body that endorsed her belief. But it got more real to her when she saw Elizabeth. And this is still the same with us. We get our blessing from the Lord, and then we come to meeting, and our brother gets up and converts it with something he got from the Lord too, and just seals the deal. It makes it better. So let's make the offer anyway. Has the Lord given you some things in your journey that witnesses, signs, make you believe? Amen.